Hello, Disney fans, and welcome to the show. My name is Austin Terrace, and I'm joined here today by my wonderful sister, Emma.
Hi, everyone.
Coming up on this episode of Disney Daydream, Disney World resumes all annual pass sales, cultural representatives return to Animal Kingdom Lodge, and the price for Genie Plus reaches a record high and sells out anyway. Later on, we'll finish our attractions tier list for Magic Kingdom. So, take a little break in your busy day, and let's start daydreaming. Emma and I would like to thank you so much for tuning into the Disney Daydream podcast. If this is your first time checking us out, we hope that you enjoy our Disney travel content. But if you've been with us all the way since episode one in 2019, thanks again for tuning in to another episode. We began an attractions tier list for Magic Kingdom. So if you haven't listened to that one, you might want to check out our previous episode, number 71. But if you listen to that, we're going to finish that up today because, as we know, there are plenty of Magic Kingdom attractions. I don't know about you, Emma, but to me, it feels like the start of a new era almost. The 50th anniversary celebration is officially over. Happily Ever After's back. Harmonious is done. The 100th anniversary of the Walt Disney Company, that celebration has begun. It is Earth Day at the time we're recording this, so that means it's Animal Kingdom's birthday, and it's their 25th birthday. Tron is open. I mean, it seems like a lot has kind of changed and shifted really quickly, and we're also just about 1 month away from our Disney Wish Cruise as well.
Yeah, and also a big thing for me that kind of signifies the end of an era is Splash Mountain being closed now.
Oh, true. Even though that was a few months ago at this point, it still seems very fresh. Very, very fresh. So yeah, there's been a lot of news that's come out. We can't, of course, cover it all in one episode, but something big just happened on April 20th, and that is Walt Disney World resuming sales of annual passes. Disney Vacation Club members were able to purchase the Sorcerer Pass a little bit early, beginning April 13th. And this is the first time that Disney World has opened up annual pass sales since November of 2021. Can you believe that, Emma? A year and a half of no sales of annual passes. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
And before that, annual pass sales were suspended in March of 2020 at the beginning of the pandemic. So it was like March of 2020, a huge break. I swear it was like 4 days they were on sale in November 2021. And now they're back. So for a lot of people, this is the first time in basically 3 years where they've been able to consider getting an annual pass. Magic Key sales also resumed at Disneyland, and that's a big deal too, although not quite as big of a deal. I think they usually sell a batch of those every like 3 or 4 months, so they're not, they weren't on hiatus for nearly as long as annual passes at Walt Disney World. Of course, the prices did change for every tier. The Incredipass, which essentially has That's what you want if you don't want any blackout dates at all. That costs $13.99 per person, up from $12.99. And truly, with the price increases we're accustomed to seeing at Disney, $100 after a year and a half doesn't seem... I mean, that just doesn't even register for me as something that's a massive increase. The Sorcerer Pass, which has a few blackout dates, like in spring break and the winter holidays, is $9.69 per person, up from $8.99. The Pirate Pass, that has blackout dates around each major holiday, so spring break, winter holidays, Memorial Day, and Independence Day. That is $7.49, up from $6.99. And then the Pixie Dust Pass, which is only for Florida residents, that has the most blackout dates, including a lot of unavailability on the weekends. That is $3.99. And actually, it was $3.99 back in 2021 as well. So only three of the four tiers changed. I think this is something that has made the Disney community pretty excited. It was one of those things where people were just like, why don't we have this back? Because we know that the park reservation system is so unpopular amongst the annual pass in the Florida resident community. So to me, it's really great to see this return. Who knows actually how long it will last. As of this recording, I guess general sales began just a few days ago. They're still going on, but this might be outdated information even just a week from now. We just don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know how many they will be selling. Another cool thing, last week, starting on April 18th, annual pass holders no longer had to make a park pass reservation if they wanted to visit the theme parks after 2 p.m. There are exceptions, aka Magic Kingdom on the weekends, but that's another little nod to Florida residents and annual pass holders. And I think that's great. Like, why make a park reservation if you're coming in for the afternoon?
Right.
You know, it's just a hassle. And people who live around the area, it's great that they have that freedom to just come in after the park hopper window has opened.
Yeah.
So there we go. Hopefully these stay on sale for a while. Emma, why don't you talk to us about Animal Kingdom Lodge?
Okay, so cultural representatives have returned to Animal Kingdom Lodge for the first time in 3 years. The Disney International Program brings cast members in from all over the world to work in the World Showcase, Animal Kingdom Lodge, and other Disney World locations. This was put on hold when the pandemic hit in 2020. Cultural representatives returned to Epcot last summer. Over the last few weeks, cultural representatives have returned to Animal Kingdom Lodge from across sub-Saharan Africa. Disney states, these cast members help create authentic experiences and immerse guests in the diversity of their home countries through a combination of cultural and conservation-focused activities available at the resort. They also help to support the Disney's Animals, Science, and Environment team. Disney has shared information about three ways guests can interact with cultural representatives at Animal Kingdom Lodge. First is immerse yourself in the music of the savannah. The second is visit savannah overlooks to observe and appreciate wildlife. And the third is discover the natural wonders and diversity of sub-Saharan Africa.
This was wonderful news. I think the cultural representatives add so much value to the resort. And I know we just visited once for one trip, but hearing that music and just being around those people who shared so much knowledge, like about the wildlife and everything and the culture, it was great. It made it feel so much more authentic and welcoming and engaging. So I've been waiting to share this news story for years, and I'm glad that we actually get to share it today.
Yeah, and like like you were saying, the music part of it. Like, there's just something about having live music anywhere, but it was just so immersive and special at Animal Kingdom Lodge, having that live music.
Yeah, and I had almost given up hope with how long it took for things to start coming back to Epcot. And after they basically said, see you later, to the band playing at the Grand Floridian, I was like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. This type of resort entertainment is just not returning.
Yeah.
I don't want to just pour cold water over this announcement, but I'm still worried. I don't know if you've been following this, Emma, but the first round of Disney layoffs happened last month, and that essentially hit middle management positions, more corporate positions. But the second round of layoffs is coming soon, and that's going to hit a lot of entertainment cast members.
Yeah.
Still more management as well, but who knows? Like, Disney's not done. The second round of layoffs is not going to be the final round. There's going to be at least one or two more beyond that. So I hope that this is here, that the representatives are there to stay along with the real frontline cast members. But that's something to keep our eye on moving forward.
Yeah.
And finally, our last story for the day, the price for Genie Plus has recently hit a record high and is actually sold out. So let's think about why this could be the case. Towards the end of March and early April, we had spring break. That also coincided with Tron opening, like just a couple of weeks prior. So on April 6th, Genie Plus went on sale for $35 per person, and it sold out before 10 a.m. That was the fourth day in a row at Walt Disney World that Genie Plus sold out. Before this, Genie Plus had only sold out three times in its history. And then it sells out 4 days in a row.
Wow.
So there we go. The previous record high was $29 per person per day, and soared up to $35 during spring break. When we were there, some friends and I, in my grad program last March, I think it was a little bit early to be peak spring break season, but it was still rather crowded, and we still paid that $15 per person per day. So we got to save, what, $20, and we got it each day. We saved $80 per person. That's just a lot. And also, the individual lightning lanes are getting more expensive too, with prices for that hitting something like $22 per ride. In the highest prices that we had seen for that previously were closer to around like 15 and 16. I have checked over the last few days. It's come down a bit. I think I've seen like $20 or something around that price point. You all should know, as listeners, if you plan trips in peak times and, you know, you want the Genie Plus service, which again, I actually enjoyed. If we're talking about Hollywood Studios and Magic Kingdom, I thought it was definitely worth it. I could have definitely gone without it in Animal Kingdom, and then Epcot was iffy. I think Epcot is probably maybe a better value now that things seem to be, you know, construction's ending and you've got Guardians and all that jazz. But if you want Genie Plus, I'm sorry, you better hop on early in the morning and and get it. Part of me just doesn't like the waiting, though. And that's so bad, because I was very much upset about a paid mm-hmm. FastPass system. But who's going to The truth of it is, who's going to go during spring break and wait like an hour for your most basic attractions and then sit in lines for 2 to 3 hours for the e-ticket attractions?
Right.
You know, that just...
yeah.
Just not ideal. But there we go. There are our news topics for today's episode. When we return, we're going to continue our attractions tier list, finishing up with this series with the Magic Kingdom attractions we didn't get to before. That topic is coming right up. Welcome back, everyone. We are going to take you through the final part of our attractions tier list. How have you enjoyed these few episodes, Emma? I think this has been really fun, and some episodes have definitely been more difficult to rank than others.
Yeah, I agree. This is probably like one of my favorite types of episodes we've done. I mean, I've had a lot of fun just going through. But yeah, some are very hard to rank, and
I think we saved the hardest for last with Magic Kingdom, to be honest with you. One comment we made in our last episode was that Magic Kingdom like just is such a cool park, and there are a lot of attractions that are good. And I think sometimes that will lead us to wanting to rate everything like B. Like, hey, that's a pretty cool attraction, or some of the older dark ride attractions. It's just like, I love going on this. I know it might not be the latest and greatest in terms of attraction technology, but you still want to rank it fairly high. So I think last time we just had a whole slew of attractions that we gave a B ranking. And I don't want to think... anyone to think that we're trying to cop out here. It's just hard.
Yeah, it's really hard to separate the nostalgia with like the actual ride.
Yeah, like totally agree. Yeah. Our first one for the day is Mad Tea Party.
Yeah, speaking of nostalgia.
Exactly.
We used to love this ride.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you see it and you're just like, classic Disney.
Yeah.
You know, classic Disney. But like, how high can you feasibly rate this type of attraction that is kind of basically a carnival ride?
Yeah.
But hey, it's the teacups from Alice in Wonderland, and who doesn't love that?
Yeah, I honestly have no idea what to rank this.
Part of me wonders if I could, in good conscience, give it above a C.
Yeah.
Because also as I get older, it gets a little bit more iffy each time when I'm trying to whip that wheel around and spin me out of the teacup.
Yeah, every time I'm like, I'm not sure if I actually want to do this.
Yeah.
Like,
are we okay with C?
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Okay. I think that's a legitimate ranking there. The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh is next. My friend Cameron went on this for the first time last year. And coming off of it, he was just like, that was a complete fever dream. And he's so right, because this one replaced Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. They made some dark ride improvements in terms of the ride vehicle, but just the Heffalump and Woozles portion of this attraction.
That scene is so wild. Yeah.
It seriously is. But I still love it. And Winnie the Pooh was always one of my favorite Disney franchises. So I also love the queue, even though
yeah,
the put your hand over the honey type of thing is kind of gross because everybody is just like pasting their body up against that.
Their sweaty body.
Exactly. Yeah. But this is at least a B for me.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of my favorite dark rides for sure.
Like a B?
I'd
B
say, plus? I'd say B. Yeah.
Okay. We'll go B here. And we'll move to Mickey's PhilharMagic. We have not seen the most updated version of this attraction with the new scenes. I always liked it. Granted, the 3D is not the best.
It's really bad. But I love it. Like, if I had to skip it, I'd be really upset. Like, it's just a classic.
It is. And it does a great job of integrating a lot of memorable scenes and music from other movies. So I still like it a lot, even though I'm squinting or closing one of my eyes the entire time because those 3D glasses are just not it.
Objectively, it's really bad. Like the whole 3D. If they fixed the 3D, it would be just amazing.
Totally. So is this a lower B for us, but still a B?
I mean, I'd give it a B, yeah.
Okay, I can go with that. Like, I've got... It has to be Mad Tea Party.
Yeah.
So B is good. You might be surprised here, Emma. Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor. We don't do this anymore because I didn't feel like there was a lot of repeatability. But for what it is, it's fun interaction with talented cast members who are voicing, you know, these roles. And the show is funny the first few times.
Yeah.
So I don't want to just be like, oh, I never do this anymore. I'm tired of it. This deserves a D or something like that. Like, I actually think if you haven't done it, it's definitely worth a try.
Yeah, this is hard for me because, like you said, there's no repeatability. It's a lot of the same thing. And it's been so long since I've done this. Like, it's kind of hard to remember.
Yeah.
For me.
Like, I think a B would be fair. I think a C would be fair just because of its lack of repeatability. Something we could compare it to, Turtle Talk with Crush. I think that attraction does a better job of inviting people to come multiple times.
Yeah.
So C then?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I want to hear your thoughts about Peter Pan's Flight before I share my own.
Okay, well, in my opinion, Peter Pan's Flight is just, it's pretty magical. I think it's fascinating. I like thinking about them putting it together when I'm on it. And I'm like, wow, like, because you see everything from like a bird's eye point of view pretty much. And like, it's just cool to think, wow, like people went in and built these little sets with the little characters. And I don't know, it reminds me of like stop motion animation, like setting up little worlds like that. And I really like doing that, so...
I agree.
Yeah.
Even though the attraction is old, it's so enjoyable. The only thing that I wish this attraction had was just a longer track, because it's so short.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes, sometimes there's a little bit of a trade-off, because this queue can get long. And for an attraction that... I don't want to, like, do it injustice, but what is it, like 90 seconds maybe? it's something around it's there. It's really short. But
it's like 90 seconds for a 90 minute wait. It's like maybe not 90 minutes, but
well, it can get that long for sure.
It can get up there.
Yeah,
so
I'm just struggling to, like, is this above The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh for you?
I don't know. It's, I guess it might be around the same.
Yeah, I think so too. Because The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh is longer, even though that's not a super long attraction.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say, Peter Pan's Flight to me has still like stood the test of time.
Yeah.
And I love hopping in the flying ship and seeing London and all the different scenes. It brings me back to doing that same thing when I was like 6 years old. So I think a strong B is fair.
Yeah. Oh, and the newer queue as well.
Oh, for sure.
Where you like go through the house and stuff. I forgot about that. That's really cool.
Yeah, that was a wonderful addition for sure.
Yeah.
Pirates of the Caribbean is next. This is one that I'm pretty sad if I'm not able to ride this attraction.
Me too.
I love the queue. I love the music. And what can I say? It might be gross to some people, but I just love the smell.
Me too. It's just such a, it's such a classic smell. Like the Disney water rides, that smell, it takes me back. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Brings me so much joy.
Like, this is one that's probably treading into that A territory for me.
Yeah.
And the scenes are just so funny. I love the little waterfall or hill at the beginning, too.
Yeah, me too.
And even though I totally agree that if you've seen Pirates of the Caribbean over at, like, Tokyo Disney Sea or whatnot, like, that is probably the best version of this attraction, it's still very much iconic.
Yeah.
Another iconic one that is newer, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
I love it, but it's so short. Like,
yeah, this is one that doesn't really have an excuse for being so short. Like, yeah, Peter Pan's Flight, this is basically like, it's like an original attraction. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train?
Yeah.
Like, why?
Yeah, it bothers me so much. And then the wait is always so long. It's like when I do ride it, I'm like, wow, this is great. And then it's over in like 5 seconds. But
yeah, it's another like 90-second attraction.
Yeah. Yeah. And the wait is always so long. It's just, yeah, it's so annoying to me.
I give it kudos for it being a very smooth ride.
Yeah.
I love how it kind of slows down and actually takes you through the scene in the mine. I very much enjoy that. I think that more attractions should do that. Should be a combo of like a thrill with a dark ride. That's amazing to me. But I do think that this is one of those very much overrated attractions. And I could, for what it is, like I could give it a low A, but this is never one that crosses into like the S tier consideration for me, even though some people mark it as one of their favorites. Like to me, it's a great ride, but there are some issues.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
All right, so we got a couple A's in here. Here's one that is going to be pretty easy. Space Mountain, S.
Yep. I love Space Mountain. It's like, it is really jerky.
That's one of the parts that I like. There's sometimes where that really makes me angry, but when you're in complete darkness, I kind of want to be thrown around. That's part of the enjoyment for me.
All right.
Well, just in the sense that I really don't want to know what to expect.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's why I could ride Space Mountain like 20 times and still enjoy it.
Yeah, it's just a classic.
And then when it turns into more of like the Hyperspace Mountain deal at night because of that music shift.
Yeah.
It's just perfect. It's really kind of two different attractions. And it's one of those where I'm hitting it up first thing in the morning and I'm always going back.
So yeah.
Once is like never enough for me on Space Mountain.
Yeah.
Eked out our first S of the day. It's been a long time since we did Tom Sawyer Island.
I literally have no memory of it. I'm going to be completely honest. This one's all you.
Okay. Is Tom Sawyer Island, like, underutilized? Probably. Is it the best use of space? I'm not sure. There is a lot to see and do, but there's never enough for me to be like, hey, I'm really going to take a chunk out of my day to do Tom Sawyer Island. Because if you're taking that ferry, essentially, across, and you're going to explore the island and then come back, I don't know how you could really do this in under an hour.
Yeah.
And that's pushing it. You know, you're just like speed walking through. So I don't necessarily wish that this was removed from the park. I'm sure there's probably some things that they could add to Tom Sawyer Island. But to me, it's kind of like a C. It's like, oh yeah, this is there. Maybe someday if I just want to chill, I'll do it. You know, maybe it's a cooler day, but I'm never that drawn to it. So for that reason, I can't really give it more than a C.
Sounds good.
Here's another one that's probably not going to rank very high for us. Tomorrowland Speedway.
Yeah, I honestly, this is another one where I don't really remember it because we haven't done it in so long.
This is one, I've said it before, why is this in the park? It's smelly.
It is smelly.
The line can actually get kind of long, and it takes up so much space. Like, you cannot tell me that there is not a better way to utilize that huge track.
Yeah.
Especially because for Tomorrowland needs like a revamp, and I'm sure Tron is doing amazing things. Like, that's definitely a great addition. And unfortunately, we've never done that one, so we can't rate it on this episode. But Tomorrowland Speedway is something that every single amusement park has, right? One of those driving things. And I guess with kids, that can be popular. I feel like that's probably the only reason it stayed so long. But I kind of want to give this a D because I just don't like the fact that it's here.
I just feel like it doesn't really fit in with Tomorrowland anyway. Like,
no, they're very clear. You're clearly driving around like a race car that was built in like the 50s or 60s.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
We good with a D?
Yeah, that's good.
Sounds cool. How about the Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover?
Love the People Mover. I love it.
I love it too.
Has it crashed lately?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Which is impressive. When this can actually be up and operating, it is such a joy.
Yeah.
I love seeing the park this way, and it's just fun. You get to actually learn a couple of things. Isn't it so cool to go through Cosmic Rays and to see a bit of Space Mountain too?
It's so cool.
And think about this now. You get a phenomenal view of Tron.
Right. Like, we could see it so well when it was being built.
Exactly.
It was so cool to see.
Yeah, it was fun to look at even during the construction. So actually seeing that roller coaster in motion as you're on the People Mover, like, heck yeah. This is one of those that if you asked me 10 years ago, I would have been like, I'm not interested in doing the People Mover, but I don't miss it now. I have to do it each time.
I feel like it's gotten better with time. Like, not that anything has really changed on it. It's just like we've grown to really like it. Like,
yeah, and like the park changes around it, you know?
Yeah.
And you get to see that. I kind of want to give this a B just because I do enjoy it just as much personally as going and seeing like Mickey's PhilharMagic, you know? Like, it's definitely belongs to me in that tier.
Yeah, I'd be good with a B as well.
Wonderful. And we've got Under the Sea, Journey of the Little Mermaid next. I don't know if it's just because this is a newer dark ride attraction. I don't have the same type of nostalgia tied to it. But I don't really like this attraction that much.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's a great dark ride. And it was very much thrown together. Like, for how old it is, for something that came out 10 years ago, it does not hold water against some of the newer attractions that they've made.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's fine. They could have done a lot better. I really like where it is, and walking through the queue is really cool.
Me too. Me too. I think it's wonderful, but then you get on the attraction and it's just a letdown.
Yeah.
You're expecting a lot more.
The building itself and the queue is the best part of it, which is disappointing.
Just a missed opportunity. And for something that I like a lot. I love The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
I love the music, but there's just not any impressive animatronics happening here.
No.
Mediocre.
Have you seen videos of the Ursula animatronic broken? Like,
yes.
There are videos where her head is off, and it's so creepy.
Yeah, it just makes me feel like this was an afterthought with the Fantasyland expansion. And all they were trying to do was like, let's build something that can just accommodate massive amounts of people to help with crowding. Because you're just in those shells. The shells are coming one after another. You know, it's kind of like how they load Peter Pan or the Finding Nemo ride.
Yeah.
So I'm just not really a fan. I think I could be okay with a C. I think I could even be okay with a D. What are your thoughts?
I don't know. I'm between a C and a D as well. I don't know if it's like...
If it warrants a D?
Yeah. Because there's nothing about it that screams like, this is awful and needs to be changed immediately. To me, like, it's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I feel like a C,
maybe. I agree. It was a little bit, probably a little bit harsh there.
Yeah.
A C definitely works. And then it's so near and dear to our hearts, Walt Disney's Carousel of Progress.
Yay. Love the Carousel of Progress. Just the song is so classic. Yes, it needs updated, but it's so great.
Yeah, it's like, okay, we recognize that there are some parts of this attraction that need to be changed and refreshed.
Yeah.
However, it is such a classic.
It is.
And I have to see the show each time. Fine, I won't put it in an S tier, but to me, this is an A. And I will fight for that A.
I would strongly agree with that.
Yeah, so much charm. Just the perfect way to especially escape the heat.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
And it's like just long enough, isn't it? So you feel like you've taken a journey, but you're not feeling like you're being cheated out of a huge chunk of your day.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
The Terrace family, we are very, very big Carousel of Progress fans. And last but not least, Walt Disney's Enchanted Tiki Room. I actually did this last year for the first time in a while.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I can't say that I loved it.
I don't remember it. I mean, I just remember the song. I don't, like, are there bird animatronics? Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yeah, and they do a little show. They have a number of songs. I could be totally wrong. It seemed like this was about 10-ish minutes or something like that. It was never really one of our favorites.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't want to crap on one of the classics, but besides the title song, I'm just not a huge fan. And it's another straight up mediocre attraction to me.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm calling for its removal, but still.
I just don't know why it's there. Besides the fact that it's just like a classic, I guess. I don't know. I feel like it doesn't fit.
In Adventureland and whatnot. But
yeah.
We're going to have to go with a C for this, I think.
Okay.
And like, to me, kind of a low C.
Yeah.
People can come at me if they want. If you're a huge Enchanted Tiki Room fan, I get it. We're huge Carousel of Progress fans, and some people probably hate that one. So
yeah,
it's okay. And that's it, Emma. That is it. There are a couple we have not that opened up in this last year that we can't rate at the moment. But before we end this episode, why don't we go through the top and the bottom tier over the course of this episode series?
Okay.
Just to recap what we gave S for superior. And then I think the lowest tier we had was a D.
Yeah,
like we didn't
give anything
a failing grade.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So as far as S's go for Magic Kingdom, we had Space Mountain and Haunted Mansion. Space Mountain and Haunted Mansion at Hollywood Studios. In the S tier, we had Fantasmic, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, Rise of the Resistance, and Twilight Zone Tower of Terror.
Nice.
At Epcot, we did not have any S's. And at Animal Kingdom, we had Avatar Flight of Passage and Finding Nemo, The Big Blue and Beyond, the show. And then at the bottom, oh, I apologize. At the very bottom, we did have Triceratops Spin, which we gave an E. So there we go. And then for D's, It's Tough to Be a Bug got a D. At Epcot, Living with the Land got a D. At Hollywood Studios, nothing was given a D. And then at Magic Kingdom, Buzz Lightyear's Space Rangers Spin. And I believe that is, oh, and Tomorrowland Speedway. So there we go, the best and the worst, in our very humble opinion. Agree, disagree, let us know. But that wraps up our series. And I think that's going to do it for this episode of the Disney Daydream Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll join us for the next one. Remember, be kind to one another and take the time to find a magical moment in each and every day.